good morning, Living Stones. Oh, it has been almost 2 years that I've got to preach from this pulpit. And I didn't realize it had been that long. For those of you that don't know me, let me introduce myself again. My name's Keith Castor, and I was privileged enough to be one of the people that helped start this church 21 years ago. I served as a lot of different areas in this church, and when I think of churches in general, this church has meant so much to my family and to me personally. That's a side note, which you're going to find out tonight. It's going to be a lot of side notes, so good luck with that. So we'll just start here. I need a word of prayer for myself just to get my head together and see if I can remember how to share. Let's just do that. Dear Lord, I just thank you, God, for the opportunity. God, just to be family, to be your family. God, just to be able to be in the house of the Lord together. God, thank you, Lord. That was part of your design, that we would do life together. Help us to be gracious with one another. Help us to be kind to one another. And help us, God, when we don't understand, to just get our eyes back on you. Lord, just help me get through today. And God, I just pray that, Lord, if there's somebody that needs to hear this, that they will take it for what it is. And God, that's you talking to their hearts and mine. In the Lord's name, amen. Amen. All right. So Dan gave me a text, and the text was like, hey, I want to know if you want to preach, which I responded, hey, you know, and he ended it with, chew on it and get back to me. Which I responded to it, hey, thanks for thinking of me, because I was grateful that Dan thought of me. And like I said, I haven't preached for about 2 years up here. And I was like, no, I've got too much going on. I can't know if my help for my father, who I take care of at home, is even going to make it. I haven't even been make it to Sunday school, which the Sunday school teacher has called me out a few times on that, bless his heart. And just kidding, Lance. And I want to be there. I want to be here. I would love to talk. To ask anybody. I like to talk. But I said, no. No, I won't. But I had promised Dan I would chew on it, right? So then I said, well, you know what? In all fairness, I need to pray. And God, do you want me? I don't have time. My head's not where it needs to be. But God, would you like me to pray? Which I was hoping for a pretty vague answer. How many people, when you pray, get vague answers? Raise your hands if that's ever happened. Yeah, we got. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You get that answer of, yeah. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. So, I didn't get that. Here's what I got. Dear Lord, Should I talk? You know, I don't have, and the answer came back, yes! And I'm not kidding you. It was so loud that I literally typed Dan back right there and said, Dan, pencil me in. I'm ready. Because God does not speak to me like that. Now, I hope that he does to you. And you can probably look back and say, well, there were times where you prayed a prayer and the answer came immediately. But it does not work that way for me. Most of the times I pray, and I do pray, and I pray for this church, and I pray for a lot of you and a lot of your situations, not because I'm this great prayer warrior, but because I believe that I know people pray for me and my family, and God has called me to that. But my prayers are never answered the way I want them to be answered. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I struggle with that. I always have. So just to let you know, it was a little scarier when I got the direct answer, and you will, yes. And I realized my only option here is to be obedient. I prayed for it. I asked. I got the answer. Therefore, it's time to show up. So that's why you got me this morning. Because quite honestly, my head and heart are just not where they should be because I've got so much else going on. And I know, luckily, that none of you have anything else going on outside of coming to church on Sunday morning. I get it. So, after I said yes, I was like, well, where do I go from here? So, as most of you know, I do this thing called Five Star Bible Camp. And this year, Five Star Bible Camp is our 30th year anniversary of doing camp. Our theme is then, now, and always, which needs a guy with a deeper voice to say that. But one camp, many generations, celebrating 30 years of Five Star Bible Camp. And this camp is going to be unbelievably important in my life. And here's why. I have been the camp leader, speaker, class clown, for the last 28 years. This is what I have done every single summer for 28 years. Even when we had COVID, we didn't have the camp, but I recorded messages and we still put some things together for a camp. 28 years, this has been my identity, one of them. And this year, 30 years that we're celebrating. I did not make the first 2 years of camp because they had another speaker. I didn't even know camp existed. I was speaking to other places. My lovely wife, our maid of honor in our wedding, she was involved in this camp, and it happened like this. It was really dramatic. My husband can do that, and they said, good, make sure he gets here on time, and that was the end of that. And then every year, I tell them, the way camps work is you have a different camp speaker come in, and they talk to you. See, so I did my year, I get to leave now. That's what I told them. And they said, no, that's not the way it works in Nebraska. We want you back next year. And I said, no, you don't. You really don't want me. You want someone with different ideas, different perspectives, different ways that they look at what to teach the kids. You want somebody new. You want somebody fresh. That's how camps work. How many of you have ever been to camp? Church camp. How many of you have ever had the same speaker for 28 years? None of you, right? So I became this circuit riding I come once a year, I do camp, and then I leave, right? It's actually a pretty nice gig. The problem is that after 28 years, I think I've said everything I know and made up another third of it, right? I'm going to ask this question. How many people here have worked at the same place for 28 years or longer? Yeah. So you know what I talk about. You feel that. That's a long time. So what the camp did was, behind my back, thank goodness, they talked to my son. And they said, Jordan, would you be willing to take this camp over? And I, yeah. So Jordan prayed about it, thought about it, and he's been co-teaching it with me for the last 3 years just to make sure I get home safely. And so he said yes. So this year, I'll have the privilege of installing my son in as their new camp leader. Now, I don't know if that's going to last for 1 year or 30 years. I have no idea. But that is an unbelievable blessing, even to me, just to see people from that camp, because he's from it, move forward to the next generation, and to the next generation, and to the next generation. Now, this is a side note and not part of the sermon at all, but I will say this. We started this church 21 years ago. We will someday, good Lord willing, celebrate our 40th, I'll just double it, or 50th anniversary. Someday, maybe. When we got this church, there was a plaque on the wall of the 50th anniversary of the Free Methodist Church, who used to own this church, and my picture was on it, by the way. I knew this was the right place for us to move to because my picture was on the wall before we got here. I felt good about it, right? Don't laugh. I did feel good about it. So bottom line is, someday we'll have our 50th. Someday they'll have their 60th. And Jordan could possibly be the guy at the 60th. That is, he could still, I don't know what God's got in store. But I will tell you this. In our 50th anniversary of this church, and probably in the 30th, 60th anniversary of Five Star Bible Camp, they will not know who I was or who I am. Do you hear me? They will not have a clue. And let's just say that the grace of the good Lord, I'm still there, right? Like just hanging out, being grandfather and you know, harassing the children, you know, that type of deal. You know. They're not gonna know what I accomplished or what I did or what they're not gonna know what we did pretty much as a church. Are you guys following me with this? See, our legacy. My legacy is not going to be in that I was 28 years for the five-star Bible camp, right? That I was the leader, that I did this and did that. Which brings us all back to this lesson. And the lesson is the ministry of reconciliation. And it's from Paul. Now, here's what's going on. In that situation, Paul had started that church with his people that were following him, right? And then the church did something, and that was this. In fact, I wrote it down so I wouldn't remember the actual points. He gets reports of diversion, immorality. There are lawsuits within the church. Half the church was fighting with the other church, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the more things change, the more things stay the same? Right? I don't want to show a hands on this, but I know that many of you have come from churches that have literally torn themselves apart from the inside out. We've all lived through that, most of us. We've all been in situations, spiritually even, that it just is hard. And there's division. There's things that don't work. There's frustration. We are human. And that's how it works. It got so bad that Paul had to leave his work in Ephesus, was where he was at, and go, and this is the way it's described. He had to go to the church of Corinth, and it's described as the painful visit. The painful visit. Paul went on this painful visit, and it ended up with him literally having to get out of there because the church sided with this other person that had risen up, and I don't have time to go into all of that. But the bottom line is, Paul is describing this as this was awful, this was bad. And so his response to that is all part of the letter that he wrote. In fact, it describes the painful visit in 2 Corinthians, and that's where we're going to go. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn them to 2 Corinthians. We're going to start at 6. And I'm going to probably teach this like I do five-star Bible camp. Just because I'm getting ready for camp. So I hope you don't mind. So, the first part starts. No, let's go to 5. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. I'm already ahead. Let's go to 14. Start at verse 14. And it should say this. Move this over here. 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul's very confusing. I liked Paul, but he was definitely a thinker. And every time I read through this, I like, okay, let's read that again. So let's just take verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Who? Love compels us. That's pretty good, Jordan. Let me see here. This is what we call motivation. There you go, Jordan. Good job. Now, let's try this again. For whose love compels us? Very good. Now, this is where I usually throw out a lot of them, but we're gonna keep it a little simple so we don't have to. By the way, campers, please do not leave any of your wrappers in the sanctuary at any time. Please don't ground them into the ground. You know, just gentle. Right. Christ's love compels us. And what Paul is talking about is his group, right? But it's also the double meaning of us. He's doing both, but he's trying to persuade the church that Christ's love compels us, that he's not coming to the church to do anything else but to make things right and to help them understand, hey, this is the way we need to go. Christ does that with us all the time. We are compelled by Christ's love. We can't even come to the Father except through Christ. And that's let's keep moving. So basically, when this diversion's going on, the next line in this says, because we are convinced that one died for all. Who's the one that died for all? This one you get. Oh, right there. Fast. Right. Sunday School 101, kids. We're all here. We know these answers, right? If you don't know, I always tell them, you can't go wrong with Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus, yeah, very good. Who said Jesus? Is that you? Oh, right there. There you go. That can't go wrong with that answer, right? But that's what's going on here. We're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Now, what does that mean, Paul? Correct. But you've already had your allotted Reese's for the morning, right? So what do you think Paul is trying to say there with, hey, that because we're convinced that one died for all, therefore all died? What do you think he's trying to get across? Anyone? I'll go double Reese's. That we identify with Christ. Who identifies with Christ's death? Everyone. He's tying the world into this. He's laying out God's plan, right? He's saying, look, for Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and then that because of that, therefore all died. All right, let's go to the next slide there. Next slide. So R.V.J. Tasker, who's a theologian back in the day, did a lot of good work on that. He wrote it this way. Christ's death was the death of all in the sense that he died the death they should have died. That we should have died. Christ's death was the death of all in the sense that he died the death that I should have died. Somebody had to pay for sin. We know this. Sunday school. Somebody had to be worthy enough to reconcile us with God. Right? We know this. We've been through it. That everyone died. He's tying the entire world. Right now, I looked it up, 8.4 billion people on the planet at this time. At this time. At least according to, I'm sure, some AI out there. All of those. Christ literally died the death for them, for us, for me, for you. Are you with me so far? We know this, but sometimes I think we really forget that this is a global plan. This is a world plan. This was God's way to connect the people that he loved. You know, I said earlier that God literally talked to me, I think. I don't know. It was definitely a loud, "You will preach." And I wrote this down. I said, "I don't know why God answered my prayer that way. I don't know why sometimes it seems like when I really want an answer, I don't get one. But for those of you who are praying right now for something, for someone, those of you who are locked in that battle, don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. From the beginning of time, God had the plan for reconciliation. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us so much that he had to make a way for us to reconcile. From the beginning of time, he loved you. You're his favorite. We've talked about that a long time ago. You're his favorite. I'm his favorite. You are not forgotten when you're not getting the answers you seek, or you're not getting the responses, or you're not seeing any movement from that situation or that person that you're praying for. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. God has you right, unfortunately for some of us, where he wants you. Your job and my job is to remember that we are sons and daughters of the living God. We are literally royalty because of what God did through Jesus Christ to ransom us, to make us worthy, not because of what we did or how well we act, but because he loved us. We had the baby dedication I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was able to be here, didn't know I was praying for it, started tearing up before it even happened. Sorry. Because I just see those babies and my 9th grandbaby. And I think to myself, how much God loves those. And we don't. Jesus says, bring little children unto me. And we get older. And we get wiser. And we lose that. Because I don't know about you, but I've felt how worthless I really am. And that doesn't change the older I get. In fact, I find that the older I get, I feel more worthless. It's 5-star Bible camp, 28 years leader. 30 years from now, no one's going to ever remember that. And that will not be what gets my entrance into heaven. That accomplishment is a minor accomplishment. Here's the problem. I did my best to always, I really did, the good Lord is my witness, to keep Jesus first in that whole process. But I did it so many years that it also became part of my identity. Does that make sense? And we do that with our jobs. We do that with our relationships. We do that with everything that is not actually sometimes what it's supposed to be. It's not that we're bad. It's literally that we need tangible things to hold on to sometimes, or I do, that I say, oh, well, yeah, I'm good at this. And again, it's not like we're like, well, I'm going to earn my way to heaven. We know the way to heaven. We understand that Jesus died for all of this. But what happens is our identity starts coming within ourselves. And then we start losing touch of what's really important. Do you know what's really important? There's one thing and one thing only. I got a Reese's. Jesus. That's it. Jesus. And we have to come back to that over and over and over and over again, because if we don't, what happens is diversion in our church. Diversion in our relationships. Wrong theology. This is all what Paul was dealing with. This is happening over and over again. It's a repeat cycle. Finally, a lot of our Gen Zs, and we know this because have just given up on this Jesus and this God thing. And a lot of them don't even want to mess with trying to work through it because they've set through it and they realize, it's not working for most of them. Why would it bother to work for me? The issue is, this is the plan that God had set up from the beginning. Let's move on. So, let's go to the next slide. Which one's that? And he died for all. There we go. 14, all right. Now I'm at 15? Yep, thank you. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. All right? Let's read that one more time. And he died for all. To everybody. To everybody. Because we are... That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and were raised again. So somebody, give me an example of no longer living to yourself. Anyone? I can get all the way to the back row. Anyone? What was that? Being a parent. That is a great, great example. Well, just pass that one along. You didn't earn that one. It goes over there. That's right. Being a parent, great, great example. How many parents do we have? And raise your hand if you're a parent. I'm not going to go through the list, but you know what I'm talking about. How many times did you have to take care of something crying? How many times did you have to take a deep breath and say, okay, we're going to do this again, right? How many of you in that moment loved that child? But we're wondering when this is going to stop. Right? Being a parent is a great example. Give me another example. Come on. I know you want to. Anybody got another example? A parent's a good one? I'll give you two or three others I can think of, but I'd like to hear from the audience. You know, the first year I did camp, I didn't have these. And it was a very silent camp except for me rambling. Don't make me ramble. Give me one more example. Anyone? Teacher. What was that? Yeah. Hey, oh. Gotta look. I know. You were still expounding. That's right. Sometimes I'll hit you with a slider while it goes on the top of your head, but that's Oh, there you go. There you go. Teacher's a great, great, great example. How many people still to this day have a favorite teacher? Yeah, look at that. Yeah. How many do teach some yeah. That's a great example. Give me one more quick one. Anyone? One more quick. Come on. My long, wonderful, suffering wife. She got sainthood through me. So, yeah, being a spouse. Because the good thing about being married is that you never disagree on anything, and you never have different opinions. No, because we're one accord, right? You know, right? And that's not a Honda I'm talking about either. Thank you. Thank you for the courtesy laugh on the right side of the audience. These are the jokes, kids. I don't know. That's what you get. Right? That is a ministry unto itself. Being married. I'll give you the last one since you get there. Being in a church community. Because again, we always agree. Right? We always think the carpet should be the same color. We always, all of these things are a lot of times putting yourself not first, putting not just your heart into, well, I think we should do this, or this is how it should be done, or blah, 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 blah. The problem is, I know better than most of you. I truly, just coming out on the carpet and saying it, I truly think I'm right 98% of the time. And those 2% of the time, I'm probably usually asleep. And I know that sounds pretty arrogant, but I would say that if you really checked yourself and you really looked at yourself, you would realize, yeah, I'm usually right. I'm laughing with Ricky, because there were times that me and Ricky, love you, Ricky, would argue for hours. 4 hours, and I loved him to death, and he loved me, I think. I'll give you a Reese's here, Ricky, just in case. I want to make sure you're still, the love's flowing. But we did not necessarily agree on the theology, this is church-related, that we were talking about, that we were discussing. I won't say arguing about, discussing, right? There has been many times when people have come to get my advice. Believe it or not, there are some people that have done that. And I will give them that advice. I will give them exactly what I know needs to happen. And then they will go out, and what will they do? Exactly what I said, right? Yeah. I'm not going to go into details, but this is why I have 5 grandchildren on the other side here. I was told by my wonderful kids that they were never going to have children. I then pleaded with them, let's at least just go over the section about how to raise children, because I'm doing their marriage counseling. And I'm like, things could happen. Are you with me? So what happens is They have 5 grandchildren. I'm usually right. And I've said this before, but just because we're right doesn't make us right. Because it's not about if I think I know better or I know better. We have to live for Christ and do the best we can to follow him and the best we can with his grace and his mercy, because that was the plan, to be reconciled. Right? Let's go on, for I let this get way far away from me. Let's go on to the next one. That's the foundation of God's plan. Reconciliation. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, "For now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this, we do so no longer." Paul is saying what here? This is definitely a rhesus moment. Who wants to tell me what they think? And by the way, there really is no... I've read different scriptures and end up getting different things from it time after time. There's always something I've missed or What do you think Paul's saying when he says, from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view? I'll even take, what do you think a worldly point of view is? Give me some example. Anyone? Yeah, way in the back. I see you. A simple point of view. Yes, I will buy that. A simple point of view. Oh, can somebody get that to that for here? Right here. One more right there. You weren't looking. I'm going over your head this time. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Oh no, I'm too short. Literally, I'm too short. My arms aren't long. Okay, never mind. Yeah, a simple point of view. Let me give you some simple point of views. That's very good. Number one, how much money do you make? How much are you worth to me? Right? What do you do for a living? Do you preach? You any good? Simple. Simple point of view. What race are you? What religion are you? What? Go on and on and on. Paul's saying, look, we don't regard anyone from a simple, worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way. Okay, somebody's got this that really wants a rhesus. Who was Paul before he was Paul? What was his name? I saw the hand raised in the back row. You guys are doing great. I'm going to get this one. Right. It was Saul. And Saul was a leader, a respected. He was like way, way high up. He was working for the church. He was working so hard for the church that he persecuted Christians and was there, and you guys know the story, but he was there when they did the first martyr and stoned that, thank you. That's the reason, so I'll get it to you later. And he was holding all the cloaks. He was there, and then he was going on the road when his got to his conversion. He was going to persecute. He was going to jail Christians, and if possible, kill them, because he truly believed that he was doing God's work. There's been a lot of things done in the name of God that aren't okay. I'm not here to preach on that. I really am not. Because I know in my own life, there are times when I truly think, and I regard myself in a worldly point of view, or a simple point of view. Well, I'm the 5-star, 28-year leader camp. If I want to throw Reese's at little kids, I can. You know? What point of view? How do you see others? I'm not talking diversity here, although I am saying there are times when people on the other side of the political aisle from me, I had to stop watching the news because I'd start getting mad with righteous anger. Been there? Yeah. People that I love, people that I still pray for, I've watched them just do stupid things that weren't going to help them get where they needed to go. And it was not that I was just wanting to tell them what's right and what's wrong, but I knew I was right, and I felt like I probably should share that wisdom with them, even though they didn't ask for me to share it with them, right? What point of view do you see others? And Paul is challenging us to see the simple view, not of the world standard, but to see the simple view that, look, Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us because he loved us. He loved us enough that he gave everything for everyone, the world. And our job is pretty simple too. Let's go down. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. We're going to end here. I could talk for another full Reese's bag, but I'm not going to. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. God's made us new. The old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministration of reconciliation. Next line, 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That is God Almighty to everyone, not counting their sins against them if they do one thing, and that is follow Christ. Simple message. We know this message. Sunday school lesson. Day one, day two, day three. But this is the deal. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God, 19, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I happen to know someone that knows a lot about this. Any other good Southern Baptists out there? I've got a few. Anybody part of Royal Ambassadors? That's directly from this verse. What was, Jessica, what did you say the other was? Girls in Action. Started in 1908. I can give you the whole background on it. But I've never part of one, but I realized real quick, oh, that's where that comes from. Therefore, we are Christ ambassadors. I'm sorry, I'm on 20. And as though God was making appeal through us. It's a simple process, but not the worldly process. God came. He saw the people. He knew he had to do something. And from the beginning of the time, he laid out the plan. There are over 200 to 500 actual scriptures and actual verses and actual prophecies of Jesus coming, of this was going to happen in the Old Testament. It's everywhere. It wasn't a surprise. God practiced his people before Jesus came to what was coming. He practiced them over and over and over and over again. This was coming. This was always the plan. You were always the plan to not hold your sins and my sins against us. And then we, therefore, would live for Christ and go out and we would help others be reconciled to God. That's the simple plan and the simple gospel. So I think I had one more slide. What's the next one? We are Christ's ambassadors. Good enough. I was hoping for a bigger drop than that, but is there a bigger drop than that? No. That's our job. Regardless of what I think or what I know, I have to come back to the pure gospel. It says my job is to help my 9 grandchildren do the best I can to let them know about God and live my life in such a way that they will see that. Your job is to help your spouses, even if they're not where you think they need to be. Our job as a church, even if we can't agree on me throwing Reese's in the sanctuary, our job, we are Christ's ambassadors because we are forgiven. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Jordan, I was going to have you come up, but you just sit right there. I'm just going to pray us out. God, we are so, so blessed. And God, sometimes I am just so hard-hearted and so in my head with knowledge that I don't always use well. God, forgive me when I just get frustrated with the way things are going in this world and all that stuff. And God, forgive me for not always being the best ambassador of Christ. But God, I thank you for dying for all of us. And God, I just pray that if there's anyone here that has not given their heart and their life to you, Lord, that they would just take that opportunity and do it right now. I pray, God, that those who have just simply started seeing things a little more through a worldly point of view and started just being frustrated with how things are. And God, maybe the prayers that they're praying are not being answered the way they need them to be or they want them to be. God, would you please, Lord, just draw them close to you and let them know how much you love them. You love them so much that you actually gave up your only son to die for them because he was worthy and we are not. Lord, I just pray for living stones, and I pray for the people that come in and out of here daily, God, that we would truly be ambassadors for you, not because we're great people, not because we're smarter than everyone else, but because, Lord, that's what you called us to. Thank you for the opportunities to share the gospel, but also just to share life with people. Help us to be gracious. Help us to be humble. Help us to not have to be right, except being right with you. In the Lord's name, amen. Thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. And I believe Dan will be back next week. And I've been excited about going through Exodus. So hopefully we will keep working through it. Have a wonderful day. And do not forget, God loves you. And don't leave your Reese's in the sanctuary, or I will be in trouble. Take care.